largely by television. Actually, for people of my age, in particular by Marlon Perkins, whom some of you may remember, who used to take us on these trips through mostly Africa and explain all the wonders of the various animals who had in their heart, it was clear, a freedom that we people lack, a naturalness, an instinct, a desire to run free, as they are, if you'll forgive the illusion, born free. But it seems that that's not entirely true, and that in fact, the better you know the natural world, the more you understand that it is a desire of animals to be unfree to some extent. I was recently reading the novel, The Life of Pi. And among other things, he talks about zoos and why zoos work and the ways in which they work. And he talks about this idea that, you know, really, we think what giraffes want is to run across the savanna. But they're not so crazy about running across the savanna unless they're being chased. And in that, they're much like us. I'm quoting now. In the literature can be found legions of animals in zoos that could escape but did not, or did escape and then returned. There's a case of a chimpanzee whose cage door was left unlocked and it had swung open. Increasingly anxious, the chimp began to shriek and slam the door shut repeatedly with a deafening clang each time until the keeper, notified by a visitor, hurried over to remedy the situation. A herd of deer in a European zoo stepped out of their corral when the gate was left open. Frightened by visitors, they bolted for a nearby forest which had its own herd of wild deer and could support more. Nonetheless, the deer quickly returned to their corral. In another zoo, a worker was walking to his work site at an early hour carrying planks of wood when, to his horror, a bear emerged from the morning mist heading straight for him. The man dropped the planks and ran for his life. The zoo staff immediately started searching for the escaped bear, and they found it back in its enclosure, having climbed into its pit the way it had climbed out by way of a tree that had fallen over. It was thought that the noise of the planks of wood falling to the ground had frightened it. Animals that escape go from the known to the unknown. And if there's one thing that animals hate above all else, it's the unknown. Escaping animals usually hide in the very first place they find that gives them a sense of security. And they're dangerous only to those who get between them and their safe spot. It may not surprise you that there is an analogy for this among people in the Jewish tradition. There's a wonderful midrash, for example, about a prison break, and all these prisoners run away except for one who's still sitting in his jail. And the warden says to him, "Why didn't you leave?" And he doesn't leave because he doesn't realize he's in prison. Because his being there had grown comfortable for him. And he no longer saw it as a prison, he just saw it as a safe place. And that is a powerful human tendency. You know, each year on Passover, we read, God brought us forth with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. We've all heard that phrase, some of us thousands of times. But it never occurred to me to ask a question about the phrase until I read Rabbi Shlomo Ephraim Lunshitz, who said, why does God need an outstretched arm if he's already got a mighty hand? And his answer is, God needed a mighty hand to take us out and an outstretched arm to make sure we didn't go back. Because the natural inclination of people who are free is to go back to slavery. It's why, in a very similar interpretation, Rabbi Shmuel Moliver says, the reason that the sea closed after the Israelites wasn't so much to trap the Egyptians, it was to make sure the Israelites didn't turn around and walk back through the sea. And you have in this something that, if we're honest, we recognize in ourselves. We imprison ourselves deliberately, systematically, so that we can be safe. The highest part of ourselves knows that prison is deadening, but outside of prison is fear. And so we stay where we are, as we are, because after all, a safe prison is better than a frightening abyss. Ralph Waldo Emerson said the greatest single influence in his life was not any scholar, any teacher, but his Aunt Mary Moody Emerson, who said to him when he was young, "Always do what you are afraid to do." Not, by the way, the kind of advice that we tend to give our children. Maybe that's why it didn't come from his father or his mother. Always do what you are afraid to do. Because in the realization that fear doesn't have to control you is freedom. It isn't the event itself. It is the overcoming of fear. The recognition that although we hedge ourselves in all the time, you don't have to stay in what the tradition calls the Dalet Amot, the four measures that restrict you in this world, that you can step out of them, which doesn't mean you can never return, but lets you know that you return out of choice and not out of fear. We hedge ourselves in all sorts of ways. With our families. I don't know how many times I have had, when I was teaching at universities and even now, freshmen who come to me and say, I went away from home for the first time. I changed. I felt different. And I came home, and to my amazement, we treated each other exactly the same as if I'd never left. In fact, it happens if you've been away from home for 20 years or 50. All of a sudden, people step back into the same routines because, as annoying as they may be, as irritating as they may be, they're safe. You don't have to change your assumptions about yourself or about the other. And so we do that. We make of all the things in our lives, our families, our work, our religion, a cage instead of a platform, instead of a place to move from, to grow. We make it a place that keeps us safe and keeps us small. The poet Rilke, looking at the torso of Apollo, in the poem about looking at that torso, said he heard a message from that statue, which is, you must change your life. That was the message. And that is the message of this season. If you had to summarize in one sentence what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are about, you could do a lot worse than taking Rilke's phrase, you must change your life. And we keep to our lives not only out of desire, out of sin, out of brokenness, but out of fear, out of comfort. Min ha-metzar karati yah, says the psalmist, from the narrowness I called to you. Anani v'merchav yah, you answered me, and the way we usually translate it is set me free, but merchav really means you expanded me. In other words, you can call to God, you can use religion, we all know this in this world, to make yourself smaller, narrower, more parochial, more safe. Or you can use it to grow, to expand, to explore, to discover. Rosh Hashanah is the time that we are given this crucial opportunity to break the cages of our character, to have somebody drop us a message that says, you can be more than you are now. I read once that the great Russian writer, Anton Chekhov, when he was 26 years old, and he had published just a couple of stories, but he wasn't planning on making that his life's work, he received a letter from a man named Grigorovich, who at the time was the dean of Russian literature. And Grigorovich wrote to him, you are a genius. Stop wasting your life and write. We should all get such a letter. We do. Each year, the Machzor is a letter. Now I know this Machzor that I hold in my hand, we were just talking about it. We need new Machzors. I know that. We're waiting, actually, for one that is being produced by the Rabbinical Assembly. It may take another year or two, but it will be written, among other things, in English that is closer to us than to Chaucer. But even with that, but it's still a letter. It's a letter that says, you could be more than you are. We all can be more than we are. The same thing personalized to us that Grigorovich wrote to Chekhov. Stop wasting your life. Write, grow, change, learn, do. Break out of your cage. Because the first premise of the tradition is that every human being is created in the image of God, and therefore, there never has been another you, and never will be. And whatever it is that is your special mission in this world, it's only yours. As the Kotzker Rebbe says so succinctly, if I spend my life being someone else, who will be me? That's it. I mean, that's the letter. That's what Grigorovich was saying. That's what it means to open the bars of the cage. It is to say, I take the responsibility of becoming myself. And everybody of a certain age, and I'll let you decide what age, knows that becoming yourself is not something that just naturally happens. It takes work to become yourself. It takes time and effort and dedication and a resolution not to slip into comfortable patterns and stay there. This day, Rosh Hashanah, and I say this day because you know the Jewish day begins in the evening. So this day is called in the tradition Hayom Harat Olam. This is the day on which the world was born. But you know, according to the rabbis, at least to one very popular rabbinic tradition, it wasn't the world that was created today. It was human beings that were created on Rosh Hashanah. God, you know, made the world last week. And on the sixth day, Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, created human beings. That's why we start the calendar from now, because Hayom Harat Olam. Olam means the world, because every person is a world. Every person is a microcosm of the world. You carry within you all the potential, all the thoughts, all the emotion that comprises a world. But worlds can be wasted, and worlds can be realized. Today, on Rosh Hashanah, if people recognize what is inside of them, and they live up to it, Hayom Harat Olam, today, your world was born. Today, you have the potential to be different from what you were yesterday, and the day before and the week before and last year. You must change your life. You received the letter. Today's the day. Begin now. And you may discover that even though all of us, from time to time, will miss the cage of what we were, we do in fact find in ourselves that we rise above the beast in our love of the freedom of what God intended we should become. Shana Tovah.